Hello, everyone. Welcome again to Heart to Heart. The Lord our God is mightily moving by the Holy Spirit. And he loves us, his people. He cares about us in every way. The Lord is always thinking of ways to help us out. He has a plan from the beginning. And he fulfills that plan daily. Now, as we respond to his word, he's able to help us more. As we respond faithfully, he's able to help us more. If we respond unfaithfully, he'll seek to solve the problem to help us get back on track. So for a very long time, the Holy Spirit has been working with humanity. Nationally, regionally, states, on a state level, on a county level, city level, neighborhoods, and individuals. And he calls men and women to the ministry, and sometimes the fivefold ministry, to help people come out of the world. Now, there's a darkness that has covered the earth, and gross darkness, the people, because the enemy wants to destroy as many of God's people as he possibly can. I don't fully understand why fallen angels hate God so much. I mean, it's not logical. They want to kill his people. They will lie to people. They will appeal to people. And then when a witch, for instance, or a warlock, or anything that will illuminate, anything that worships Satan and do blood sacrifice, when they die, the same demons that smiled in their face and gave them false power will scratch their eyes out and torment them just like he would a Christian. The darkness, Isaiah chapter 60 talked about this darkness that will cover the earth. And it takes the light of God's word to break it. And you have to, when we present people with the light through Christ, you know, Jesus is the light of the world. Then he made us the light of the world. He said, let your light shine. This is not an activity that we conjure up. This is in the new nature. We allow it to shine. Just don't compromise. Live your relationship with the Lord. Receive his word and live it. And you'll operate in his likeness. And when you operate in the likeness of God, that's light. It helps people see a better way, a greater example. Now, this light is not like natural light. It's the actions of love that we do, the actions of wisdom that we do, and the pure life that we stand for. So the world system itself is nothing but the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life. And the pride of life usually happens because of the lust of the flesh or the lust of the eye. You know, Lucifer was wise and beautiful, and that's why he got in pride. See, when people look at themselves, the world system can't be satisfied. It's a way of existing. It's not a way of life. It's a way of existing that truly cannot be satisfied. Solomon put it this way when he wrote Ecclesiastes. He said, he that loves silver can't be satisfied with silver. He'll always have a desperate need for more silver or more gold or more money. And these things cause people to get out of bed and worry themselves all day. They have schemes to make more and more money. And when that happens, you lose peace. Because when you fellowship with the Lord, you are created in his likeness. You become prosperity. Natural prosperity is a byproduct of spiritual prosperity. If you have a blessed and happy heart, then the Lord can operate in your life and cause you to prosper in many ways. Go about doing good. And then just be wise with whatever you attain. But you don't depend on what you attain. You don't depend on finances. You continue to depend on the Lord. And some people grow wealthy, financially speaking. And that's not a sin. We're commanded to do so. We're commanded to be fruitful, multiply, replenish the earth, subdue it, and have dominion over it. But see, the foundation is your love for God. That's your purpose. Your love for God is always the purpose. If getting rich so that you can do what you want without God's approval, that's a dead end goal. That's how people get into idolatry. And all forms of sin comes to us in leavened form, and it gets worse. But that's not our motive. Our motive is to serve God and do His will and live the life and enjoy the life that He gave us. You know, enjoy the wife of your youth. For women, enjoy the husband of your youth. Enjoy your children. Enjoy playing games with them. And then when you work, you provide so that you'll have a blessed home. And you stay away from things that's going to take you away from what makes sense. The love of God is always the purpose. We receive God's love towards us, salvation, kindness, goodness. We receive it from God, and then we share that with others. As we receive the love of God, we become fruitful. And because we're fruitful in His love, we received it, so we talk about it. It gets in our conversation. It gets in our actions. It gets in our motives. You know, I had a job. I hated that job. But I worked that job as unto the Lord. When I got saved, I had that job already. My mother taught me to work and do a good job. Because, you know, you'll have a good reference. And I had a good work ethic. But when I got saved, and I wanted to do something for the Lord, because He has showered me with His love, and I wanted to love Him back. And we love Him back through loving His people and loving Him and talking to Him. And I haven't changed. So if that was let's say it snowed or something, I rejoiced to go out and get buggies for people so the older ladies wouldn't have to walk in the snow and they could get their groceries. Working as under God, fulfilling the need. You know, the manager said, y'all can work overtime. We need you. I said, I'd be glad to. And I did, a joy came over me from desiring to help others when they needed me to. And that became a work ethic. I began to work as unto God. And all of my perspectives changed. The job that I really loathed, I made it work for me. And I did. I never really liked the job, but at the grocery store, I wanted to be a mechanic. But doing mechanic work was harder, but I just enjoyed it. And nevertheless, when you work as unto God, that makes the difference. That's your purpose. And the lives you touch along the way, that's your fruitfulness. Multiply. See, the love of God that comes to us is multipliable. It multiplies in us, and it gets into our conversation. It gets into our actions. Especially when you reject the lust of the flesh and the lust of the eye and the pride of life. Some people try to do God's will out of pride. When God gives them a fresh revelation, they get excited in a prideful way. And when that starts happening, I always notice that the revelation stops flowing. But when you cherish the revelation and the love of God, and you freely give, and you're not trying to profit from it, it becomes your way of life, then God always give them more. Now, some people do things in stages. There are times when they really receive the love of God, and then when they begin to prosper, their focus change. If your love stops being the foundation, everything will change. Your focus will automatically change. That's why Jesus, the theme of what He told the seven churches is stay in the love of God. Keep your first love and use it. Now, the Lord he's never trying to teach the wicked. He's teaching His people who love Him. He wants to give information to His people who love Him. And He gives no revelation to those who love the world. Only repent. Because it won't do any good. If you can't receive the love of God and let it multiply in you, you can't work for God. Revelation is given based on the love that you have in your heart, that you're faithful with. If their focus changed from the narrow path onto something else, they're still trying to get revelation from God, but they're out of bounds. And if God, let's say God did give a man that's walking down a wicked path revelation, they'll use it to get rich. They'll use it to serve what they really love. It always happens. That's why if your focus changes, you change with it and you cause other people to fail. So I've seen so many pastors and men of God, women of God, get off track because of the pride of life. When the revelation stops flowing, they don't know why. They can't tell why. If you go back and go back, if you judge what the situation by what Jesus said and study it, looking at it, and you can make the adjustments. If you those that have a weak love life, they have a weak everything. Now Kenneth Hagin said, "Much prayer, much power. Little prayer, little power." That's true. But even praying won't work if there's no love. It won't work. If love is not, whenever love stops being the motive, everything stops. And all you'll have is reputation. Just like the Laodicean church. If the revelation stops, there's a problem. The revelation of knowledge of God should continually flow. It should never stop. It should never cease. It's impossible to walk with the Lord and not have revelation. That's not even a possibility. But if the love stops, the revelation has to stop. The Lord will give revelation on a lower level. The level that you attain, the Lord's going to try to keep you from falling away. And he's been doing this a long time. But when the things of this world become more important, it's just like we said in other broadcasts. When you get in sin, or begin to get in sin, if there's no love in you, the fear of the Lord can't help you. When the fear of the Lord comes on you to repent and make change and reject some things and change your course, if there's no love of God, you can't do it. You're going to serve the God that you love the most. No, Jesus put it this way. That's why we have to pay close attention to what he's saying. He's given us clues. We just got to receive them. He said a man can't love God and money. Either he will love the one and hate the other, or he will love the other and hate the other. You can't serve God and money. You can't serve God with false motives. You can only serve your purpose by the love of God. That's it. It's impossible. If you can't love God, you can't. Even if people told you all the clues and wonders of the universe, that's true, that's of God. Not science foolishness, but God's knowledge. If people gave you the perfect knowledge of God, if you don't have any love, it won't make sense to you. And you'll still wind up in hell. Because you left your first love, because you love something more. The only reason that people would love the overwhelming, wonderful love of God, if they'll leave that, they left it for something that they love more. You don't leave the love of God for something you love less. That don't happen. So if people love God, they can't leave. If they don't protect and keep their first love, they can't leave God. In fact, if you have that kind of love, you can't sin. It's impossible. to fill your heart with the God kind of love and then go rob a bank. That never happened before in the history of man. And it can't. It's impossible. And the Lord taught me this. He said, in order for somebody to cross the line like Adam did and eat off the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, it takes a leaven of hatred in a person's heart. It takes a leaven of hatred. You have to be interested in the world somewhere. You can't leave the Garden of Eden and cross. You can't be in the Garden of Eden and cross the line. You know, Adam didn't know nothing but the love of God. Why? It doesn't make sense to receive all his love from God. God give you structure. He give you understanding. Everything he said was perfect. Everything he said was true. And then you turn from it. Something happened. You can't love God and go and sin. In fact, when I was in my worst days of temptation, and that was the days when Jimmy Swaggart fell. A lot of other ministers fell. But that the enemy sent a terrible lust demon against the church. And women started flirting in those days. Everywhere I went, and this was not natural. This was a darkness. This was Satan's work. And I didn't know how to deal. I didn't pursue. From the time I got saved, I pursued nobody like that. And that was, you know, it wasn't a thing. That was off my mind. I wasn't going to do that. But where I would go, women were trying to tempt me. And most of my customers were women. And I had to pray and cry out to the Lord and ask him how to deal with it. In fact, I thought I was going to fall. But I didn't. I knew if I failed, the enemy would kill me. I just knew it. But he taught me to love people. Now, this is before I started. I used to study. He had me to study chapters. This was back when I was studying a few scriptures So my strength wasn't. It was in survival mode, not thriving mode. My life got into thriving mode later. After the Lord taught me to love, I began to thrive. And that's how I conquered the sin. He taught me to love the people. I prayed so that I could love the people that's trying to tempt me. And that's how I overcame it. And then he taught me not to fear it. Now listen to the spirit of the word. And sometimes when you receive the spirit of the word, you can do so much better. This is 1 John chapter 2. He said, "My little children, these things write I unto you, that you sin not." So that's the goal. "And if any man sin, we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ the righteousness." That's a fact. That's not a license to sin, but that's the safety net in case. Because sometimes when people get started, they don't have it all together yet. They're like a toddler learning to walk. And then verse 2. "And he is the propitiation for our sins, and not for ours only, but also for the sins of the whole world." So Jesus is the hope of everybody that we're hearing. Verse 3, "And hereby we do know that we know him if we keep his commandments. He that saith, I know him, and keep not his commandments, is a liar, and the truth is not in him." If you know God, you're not going to sin. It's not going to be something that you want to do. And this is why, verse 5, "But whoso keepeth his word, in him verily is the love of God perfected. Hereby know we that we are in him. He that saith he abideth in him ought himself also to walk even as he walked." So that's our goal, because of the love. Brethren, I write no new commandment unto you, but an old commandment which ye had from the beginning. The old commandment is the word which ye have heard from the beginning. And a new commandment I write unto you, which thing is true in him and in you, because the darkness is past, and the true light now shines. He that saith he is in the light and hates his brother is in darkness even to now. Now verse 10 is the key verse. He that loves his brother abides in the light, and there is none occasion of stumbling in him. You can't love God and sin. You can't love God and get off track. If you love God, and you may not understand everything, but because you love God, God can clue you in and keep you on the narrow path. The Holy Spirit, the Word of God perfects the love that's in us, whatever level it starts at. So wherever we start at, don't lose that. That's, if you had enough love to get saved in the first place, you had something God could work with. Now, Jesus said, he that's been forgiven much will love much. And I was raised by pastors, my mother, my father. And they really loved God. They lived the life. I was there. My daddy was at home every night. My mother never had to wonder where he was. They were good people. And my parents made me want to get married. And a lot of girls I wouldn't talk to because I knew that they were loose. They were just as pretty as the other ones, but I knew that they're going to be a problem. And I had to refrain myself from even letting them know I liked them. I said, they crazy. I could tell by their conversation and their ways. I didn't want to be cheated on. I wanted a wife I could trust. So because I had that kind of determination, I stayed out of a lot of trouble. Now, this was when I was a sinner. I wanted to have a wife one day, and I wanted a good one, and you can't act a fool and have a, you know, it's just, you want things to be right. And I wasn't right myself, but I did want a good wife because of my parents. Now, I didn't do drugs, I didn't drink, I didn't smoke, I didn't do things that people get crazy over. I didn't do that. But and I realized that there were people that had been all down the dirty road, and then they get saved and they really love God. I said, well, Lord, since I didn't do those things, that doesn't matter. I'm glad I know you, but I want you to help me I want my love walk to increase. That's the point. However much I love you, I want it to increase. I want to know that I'll never betray you. Because when you grow up in church, you see everything. And if you ever wonder why preachers' children don't always follow God, there's a lot that goes on in church. When you go outside and play with the kids and you run and chase each other, you overhear conversations before people leave and go home. Some people go to church because they love God. And there are men that go to church because they went with their wife, and their wife really loved God, and they talk about other things. And some women, they go to church to see what's going on, not because they love. People do all kind of things. And then, you know, after a while, they stop coming. They stop going, and you find out why. Not to mention, you see things happen. You see people do exactly what God told them not to do. And I wanted to know, if I'm going to do this, I want to do it right. And I don't want to excuse myself to do something wrong and pretend that I love God. I want to love God and be done with it. I don't want to go back and forth. I don't want to be in and out. I don't want to look over here at the world wishing I was over there fooling with the world and walking and then come to church. I didn't want that life. If I'm going to do this, I want to do it right. I want to do what God expects because it makes sense. But I didn't, as a sinner, you can't do that. You can't walk the line. I told my cousin one time, man, Once I had promised God, when I quit cussing, I'm going to get saved. He said, you're not in a position to promise God nothing. That's why Jesus had to come. And man, I'm so glad he said that. See, when you don't know, you mean well, but you don't have the facts in line. You don't have, it's like having ducks in a row. You'll never get ducks to walk in a row. They fly in a V. They don't walk in a row. You have to, I had to listen and understand my condition. And it was obvious that I couldn't stop sinning. I used to think positive. I said, if I put my mind to it, I can do it. Everything but sin. I couldn't conquer sin, and I knew it. That's why God gave us the law. The law proves that you can't do it on your own. So, when I received salvation, I also received hope that I could walk this life now. I was washed in the blood, and Jesus changed my inner man. My spirit man was new. I had a clean heart. I had a dirty mind. It had to be renewed. But I had a clean heart, and I had hope that I could walk the line. And as I began to, I did fine until I had outside interference. The enemy launched an attack. I was barely ready for it. But the Lord strengthened me and I survived it. But verse 10 is the key verse. I'm going to read it again. He that loves his brother abides in the light, and there is none occasion of stumbling in him. Now watch verse 11. But he that hates his brother is in darkness and walks in darkness and knoweth not whither he goeth, because the darkness has blinded his eyes. These two verses right here prove so much, and people read right over it all the time. Once you begin going down a dark path, you don't know where you are. If you hate your brother, you're in darkness, and you don't know where you're going. You don't know where that darkness will lead you. You can think you're all right with God, but if you hate somebody, you're not right with them. It's proof that if you hate any breathing soul on this earth, you hate God too. You can't love God and hate man. It's not possible. You can't love God and do man wrong. That's not possible either. It's one or the other. It's always one or the other. It's either you love God or you love money. You love money or you love God. You love God and you love your brother. Or you love God or you hate your brother. It's one or the other. So if I love God, I also love my brother. Even if he's a pain in the neck, I still love his soul. I still wish him well. I still desire the life of God on his or hers. Whoever I'm dealing with, I love that person. Now, the women that were flirting, I love their soul. They were offending me because they were putting me in they seemed to put me in a compromised position, but I had to love them as a person, not an object. And the Lord, it took a while for me to get it, to understand it. I saw a vision where the Lord said, you handle it the same way. A friend of mine was upset with me, but I didn't stop loving him because he was upset with me. The Lord showed me a vision of earlier that day. He said, you handle this problem the same way. Just like you love your friend, and he was upset with you, you love the women that's trying to flirt with you. And that's when it broke. I knew what to do, but I still felt tempted until the Lord said, a few weeks later, he said, he told me to not fear falling. And see, when I stopped fearing falling, everything changed. I saw what the scriptures were trying to give me all along. I didn't have to fear that I would fail. When you don't fear something, you have no allegiance now. I had no allegiance to the world. Fear is an allegiance. It's putting something that's ungodly over you. It's saying that Satan has more power than you do. It's fearing that that you're not adequate when the Lord is with us. See, if the Lord loves us and he's with us, then he can always, we can't be in a situation that God can't handle. Just like when they threw the three Hebrew boys in the fiery furnace. Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, they threw them in the fiery furnace. And the fire wouldn't consume them. All their clothes. Because they were dedicated. They loved God and God was with them. Nebuchadnezzar saw the fourth man in the fire. Now that's the truth in your case. But if you fear, you will get burned up. Because now you believe that God is not with you. And his love can't help you. If you receive the love of God, you're clued into the fact that you can do all things through Christ. Even if you don't know it that way, you're clued in that you can make it. I've seen young mothers with children that get sick and they don't know what to do. They're not doctors, but they love the child so much that they figure it out. So the love of God is key. If we love him, we can't sin. We can't fall. We can't hate. and our life will work. Consider these things, because those that the Lord has to leave behind have taken another path. And if something don't happen to cause them to go at least back to their first love, they'll have no hope. Now I'm out of time, but the Lord is not. He'll continue to mightily move in and throughout your life. Till next time, remember, I love you. God truly loves you, and Jesus Christ is our Lord.